one of the ways that I know that there is a long way ahead of me on the spiritual path is when I see holy men like the Dalai Lama and Desmond Tutu laugh. These are people who've experienced great suffering, both personally and as part of an oppressed people. Yet they can laugh and laugh. It seems that joy is the mark of a child and also of a spiritual master. It is the mark of one who is deeply connected to the source of life. In the first lesson, we heard, the wilderness and the dry land shall bloom. Shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom. Like the crocus, it shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. Why? Because God is coming. This passage is one of the beautiful prophecies that came during the end of the Babylonian exile. The nation had been overrun by the Babylonians, and most of the people exiled into other countries, with many of the leaders taken to Babylon itself. There they continued to worship the God they knew and held the faith that they would return to the Holy Land. It is as true today as it was then. God is coming. God comes. We often say in our Eucharistic liturgy, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. And this is our understanding of the great cosmic story, and it's also our understanding of the way that God works in our lives. Christ has died and has conquered death. The wilderness is glad. Christ is risen and brought us new life. The desert rejoices and sings. Christ will come again, and like the crocus, the dry land will rejoice with singing and dancing. I think that joy may come as the result of our truly knowing the truth of these words. Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Most of us have moments of joy in our lives. The rainbow that astonishes, the small child who laughs, the unexpected phone call. Many things can give us joy. But perhaps that deep joy, which sustains and rumbles and bursts out in the giggles of holy men and women and critters, perhaps that joy needs cultivating. At the Abundance Shop meeting this week, Deb asked all the volunteers to say something nice about the person on their left. I'm sure you all know what a challenge that can be. So the lady who had to say something nice about me said she liked it when I smiled because most of the time I look so serious. And I realized that in the last few weeks I've been pretty task focused, and several of you have commented that I seem stressed. I apologize for times when I have maybe been less present or less welcoming than I want to be. It's a reminder that when I'm juggling too many projects or I've overbooked myself, then I'm not as joyful as I like to be. Because for me, cultivating joy means allowing more time in my agenda so that I can be more present with each person. For one of the things that gives me deep joy is being with each one of you and enjoying your company and the grace of Christ shining through you. I wonder what cultivating joy might mean for you. Here is Archbishop Tutu.
Joy is laughing with my friend, the Dalai Lama. Hello, my dear friends. The world is often a difficult place, full of fear and anger and suffering. But it is important to see that love and joy also fill our world. I share this belief with one of my closest and most mischievous friends, His Holiness the Dalai Lama. I'm asking him to help us show that our world is not beyond hope. Anger, fear, and despair. No, these will not have the last word. Will you join me, the Dalai Lama, and many others in creating a world where love and joy win? But we cannot do it without each of you. Would you help us by sharing a brief video of what gives you joy? For me, you source of great joy. Share the joy. Are you in?
Okay, so you guessed it. I'm going to invite you to turn to someone close to you and share with them what it is that gives you joy and what you can be doing to cultivate that joy. So would anybody like to come up and share anything that they've been sharing?
Good morning. My name is Pat.
And my name is Barbara.
And we sit back there and discussed our joy, and we have decided,
yes, that whenever we prepare food, we are joyful. And it's not just the preparation of the food, it's the
people laughing and talking, not about the food.
Yeah.
It seems to bring us all together on some level. And because of that, Barbara and I have decided that we are
sisters from another mother.
And our mothers would have a fit.
Well, I was just wondering, is this the subject of our next video? Even though I have sullied my reputation with the outtakes.
Things we agreed upon is music brings us joy, whether it's performing or listening. It'll be a wonderful chance for that at 3 o'clock this afternoon. We'll get in a plug. Our pets and their unconditional love bring us joy. Being at the Abundant Shop and when we can make people happy, that brings me joy. Sharing with friends also is a wonderful thing. Or just this beautiful place and seeing God all around it.
Our maestro and I were talking about what joy it's going to be for everyone this afternoon. So thank you, Bryson. We look forward to seeing you back here. And I know looking around here that in some cases it is the great joy of watching people's grandchildren flourish and blossom. So I'm seeing a few folks around who have some really cute young people who are getting cuter and older and more adorable all the time, and also the grand fur babies as well. So I'm always glad when I get to see all those pictures, and those give me a lot of joy.
So, of course, all that you know me know that I would say Charlie gives me joy. And Charlie's my puppy. But the abiding joy that I get driving to church and seeing cows on the hills is just something that makes my heart sing. As long as there's cows on the California hills, I feel like all is right in the world.
All right, well, thank you for those being brave enough to share. I've been wondering whether there's a link between joy and gratitude. This morning I was just thinking that when I heard the first bird of the morning sing outside my window. It gave me joy and my heart swelled, and I was grateful for the bird and for the song. And I wonder whether the gratitude came before the joy or the joy before the gratitude. And I really can't tell. But I do know that there are different ways to look at something. I look at the moon, and it can just be the moon. Or it can be a cause of worship. Last night it rose over here in the northeast. And after the evening service, it was quite big and lightly eaten on the top left. But this morning, it was much higher in the sky. It was shining through my sunlight, my skylight, and it was much smaller. I give thanks for the moon. I was grateful. It gave me joy, and I worshipped God, the Creator. There's another Bible verse I want to share from you, probably from about the same time as that reading we heard earlier, or maybe a bit later. This time it's from Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, then we were like those who dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with shouts of joy. Poet Nan Merrill paraphrases it like this. When the divine lover enters the human heart, all yearnings are fulfilled. Then will our mouths ring forth with laughter and our tongues with shouts of joy. Now let me be very clear. I am not saying that it is somehow wrong to grieve or to feel sadness. There is much sadness in our world, and it's important for us to acknowledge that. But there is also great joy. Often the glass really is half full, and it's up to us how we see it. I am choosing today to see it full and getting fuller, and I hope that you will join me, that like Mary, the Mother of God, we will have the courage to allow the Divine Lover to enter our hearts, and we'll give ourselves utterly to the work of the Spirit. Then, as Meryl says, all yearnings are fulfilled. Then will our mouths ring forth with laughter and our tongues with shouts of joy. Let's give one of the holy men the last word.